In Florida, we have a place for you. Not only do we understand your aspirations, we're ready for them. For all the amazing things your future holds, we hold the key. Florida, the future is here.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories and timely insights.
I'm Charlie Turner in New York. The Trump administration has unveiled its roadmap for remaking NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. It aims to preserve Buy America provisions and reduce the U.S. trade deficit. Joining us to talk about President Trump's plan for changing NAFTA is Wall Street Journal reporter Will Malden, who joins us from Washington. Will, when Trump ran for president, he called NAFTA the worst trade deal ever. As we know as well, he scrapped the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. Has he stepped back from his rhetoric with this latest blueprint?
Well, he certainly has stepped back from his campaign rhetoric of utterly destroying NAFTA, pulling the U.S. out of it, or reshaping it into some, you know, unrecognizable form. What we have here is, you know, something that resembles what you might expect in other previous administrations' trade policies, and that is, you know, a kind of a overall blueprint for what the U.S. should pursue in a new trade agreement with Canada and Mexico, a new NAFTA, and in a way that can pass Congress. And that, of course, is arguably the hardest bar for any trade agreement these days, especially in the divided politics of Washington, D.C. President Barack Obama, of course, negotiated that Trans-Pacific Partnership deal during his administration, but wasn't able to bring it to a vote as the 2016 election heated up.
Will, what does the roadmap include?
Well, there's a little bit of everything. There's, you know, for some of Trump's base who's skeptical of NAFTA, and that includes many Democrats as well and Democratic lawmakers, there's a nod to Buy American provisions. Buy America meaning, you know, certain regulations would be allowed that require procurement of American goods for U.S. government purposes and projects, highways and bridges and such under certain conditions. That's different from the current NAFTA, which seeks a very open procurement where the American firms can bid for openly for Mexican and Canadian projects and vice versa. It's not clear how that would work in practice, but there was a little bit of terminology about that, a little bit of text, if you will. There's also something that would seek to preserve sovereignty of U.S. tariffs, the punitive tariffs that we put on dumped goods or subsidized goods. Mexico and Canada have been able to challenge those through a certain dispute panel. The Trump administration wants to remove that, Chapter 19 of NAFTA. So there are some things that are relatively different and that, you know, sort of suit a slightly more protectionist mood in Washington following Trump's election and his victory in Midwestern states, many of them who blame NAFTA for bringing auto and auto parts jobs south of the border to Mexico. So there are some changes, but the devil's in the details, and we don't have the details yet, Charlie. All we have is an overall blueprint with some sort of general goals. Critics would call them vague, or worse, and we're going to see where we go with that.
So would it not be very wise at this point to ask you what the plan specifically demands from both Mexico and Canada?
Well, we have some pieces, like removing this Chapter 19 panel that essentially gives the U.S. greater authority to keep punitive tariffs on something like Canadian softwood lumber or sugar from Mexico under certain circumstances. That's gonna be very tough at the negotiating table. Canada and Mexico are overall interested in getting through this process as painlessly as possible. The U.S. business community feels the same way. And so there's certainly an impulse for people who like NAFTA, which include many companies and farmers and farm states, to sort of play along, get this update done, add some interesting technology and data rules to NAFTA that would be a good precedent for other trade agreements, and move on, hoping it passes, hoping there's no problems in the negotiations that could lead Trump to bring back those threats of withdrawing from the agreement entirely.
I'm speaking with Will Malden of the Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to What's News.
We know you well, you who became a multimillionaire at 43 and you who was born one. We know you, who loses sleep over how your kids will deal with inheriting a fortune. And you, no longer getting a paycheck, but not needing one either. And also you, who doesn't have to work, but can't help not to. You serial entrepreneur, you. At BNY Mellon Wealth Management, we know because we know you well. and that gives us the necessary insight to help you grow, protect, and transfer your wealth. BNY Mellon is the corporate brand of the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation and its subsidiaries.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Will, doesn't Mr. Trump have to balance satisfying his anti-free trade base with concerns from the business community, which wants trade that is as open as possible?
Sure, Charlie. I mean, Trump has that divide within his own administration. Certainly, there are very many officials close to the business community, high-ranking senior officials in the Trump administration, as well as, some economic nationalists, if you will, those who've skeptical of free trade and U.S. trade agreements in the past. But more importantly, of course, is whatever they decide, when they decide it fully, and we've seen pieces of that this week, is going to have to pass the U.S. Congress. If the recent healthcare debate was any indication, it seems like Trump can't rely on Democratic votes very much. President Obama didn't rely on Democratic votes much for his trade legislation, mostly Republican votes. That's the way things go in Washington these days. But it means that Trump will have to appeal a little bit more to mainstream Republicans, to business-friendly Republicans in the House and Senate, and probably, that will become a priority if this is to get passed through Congress rather than, fully accepting the priorities of the economic nationalists, if you will, in his administration.
In your story, you mentioned the so-called rules of origin. How would the remake of NAFTA affect these rules of origin?
That's one of the key questions, Charlie. I've been studying this quite a bit. Take the auto industry, for example. Cars and auto parts as well have certain rules that require them to be mostly from North America, 62.5% from North America for cars, in order to be traded duty-free among the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Car industry is very important. It's spread throughout North America. If the Trump administration tightens these rules of origin, it could reduce the number of Asian parts in the North American supply chain. But if it tightens them too much, it might become too expensive or too difficult to make auto parts or cars in North America, and some might just move to China or somewhere else in Asia or somewhere else abroad. So it's a delicate balancing act. The Trump administration has signaled it wants tighter rules of origin, but moving it too much could make the auto industry oppose any final deal, or could have economic consequences that aren't expected.
Wall Street Journal reporter Will Malden joining us from Washington. Thanks a lot, Will.
Thanks so much.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.
Got an Amazon Echo or an Amazon Tap? Listen to the Wall Street Journal as part of your flash briefing. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.